Hello, America. This is the Michael Gibson Show. How are you today? I want to talk about right now. You have people in this country that act like departments, you know, agencies like the EPA and the Department of Education and others are just this holy of holy agencies and, you know, departments. And some of them, when they talk and I try to explain to them, for example, you know, the Department of Education, in the history of the Department of Education, they, you know, trying to explain to them, you know, it was created in, you know, 1979, whatever, and that its original purpose was to allocate funds from one school district to another to, you know, make the money more even, which, again, away from the flag of redistribution of wealth. And that was it. That's what they were charged with, I mean, in general. You know, it was a hat tip to the teacher unions, which, again, are destroying the education system. And that's it. That was their, again, this is just over 30 years ago. And they act like, oh my gosh, if the EPA goes away, what are we going to do? What do you mean, what are you going to do? What do you think you did before the Department of Education was created? It wasn't that long ago. Do you think schools have gotten better since its formation, since Jimmy Carter created the Department of Education? It's not better. They're worse. Look what we have now, the Frankenstein of Common Core. Cookie cutter education for every single state and school district. Everything, I mean, again, parents have been taken out of the loop for the most part. The school boards have been taken out of the loop. They have less say now than ever before. And what, the Department of Ed's going to fix it all since they helped cause the problem? It's ridiculous, and it doesn't matter. I have people I've talked to, you know, friends I've talked to. You can't tell them anything pertaining to the department. It's just Department of Ed, the Department of Ed. The name is just, I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't. Either they don't understand the role of the federal government in education, or what the Department of Education has done. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to matter what I use, what numbers or anything. It doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't matter. All they hear is the Department of Education is being either reduced in size or destroyed. And that's all they hear. All common sense is just, boop, gone. Completely gone. Now, when you do research into the Department of Education, you know, originally they were charged with the response. Again, they were called, they've had two other names. In its infancy, it's the early days of whatever it was first called. It was charged with gathering information to help the states and see what each state was doing and what was working, what wasn't. And which is funny because I didn't know this just a couple years ago. I didn't know what the first responsibility of the early days of the Department of Education, the original Department of Ed, you know, prior to Carter. And I just had this talk, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Again, I didn't know as of just a couple years ago. And I just did research recently, and I had told somebody, a good friend of mine, that I said I would love to see the Department of Education be restructured, you know, obviously being gutted, which it is, hopefully it gets done now. Again, I would just destroy it so you can hire new people. That's what needs to happen. But, you know, that the federal government would not dictate to states, you know, what they're doing as far as education, but as being a mediator for the states to tell them what's going on in each state and to help the states share information of what's being learned and taught. You know, what methods are working, what are not, what is not working. But again, having all this power consolidated, again, it's no different than you have a massive company and you have like four or five people running everything. You don't listen to anybody. You know, these five people are going to dictate everything. Well, guess what? You do that and you don't listen to tackle problems. You have thousands of minds working on a problem. You got five. You know, what scenario do you think you're going to best have the better result with? And, you know, let's look at the APA. Again, a friend of mine acting like this is just, oh my gosh, the world's going to end and cats and dogs are going to marry each other, even though we have, you know, homosexuals marrying each other now. But again, the EPA doesn't want to talk about the transgressions against the United States that the EPA has done. You know, the ridiculous land grab that the presidents are using the EPA for, taking millions upon millions upon tens of millions of acres from the states. 60% of Utah is now owned by the federal government. The Utah wants the land back because they said they're missing out on taxes, property taxes. And, you know, it doesn't matter because the EPA, even though it's a young department. That was Richard Nixon. Nixon created the EPA. Again, a new department in the aspect of this country. It is not that old. But again, they act like you get rid of the EPA tomorrow, it's all just boop, we're all going to die. We're just dead. We're all going to die. And it's ridiculous. You know, I don't have to go over numbers for you guys, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm not trying to prove a new point for... Again, at minimum, the vast overhaul of each of these departments. The reason why you have to destroy the departments is because it's a staffing issue. You have very, very shady individuals in these agencies, and you can't just gut them. You have to destroy the department to create something different to get new people in. You can't just go in and take a big scoop and start scooping around. It's not that easy. It's easier just to eliminate a department. Now, if you have some good people in the department, well, guess what? You can hire them back. Well, there you go. You know, but you have so many, especially these Obama flunkies that are in these departments. I mean, right now, they're... pertaining to, I think it was the Department of Homeland Security or something, I don't remember. They're telling ICE, and you have people in ICE saying, well, we're not going to listen to the president. What do you mean you're not going to listen to the president? You can't have just departments not listening to the president. This doesn't work this way. That's just like, they'd be like Congress. Oh, well, we're not going to follow this rule. What do you mean you're not going to, I'm not going to follow this rule? You don't have a country if you don't follow rules. You don't follow laws. You have nothing. You will end up in anarchy. You have a law. You follow it. You have an executive order. You follow it. So on and so on and so on. You can't just run around and not follow things. You can't pick and choose. Now, yes, I've had many conversations before. Is there bad laws? Are there unconstitutional laws? Yes. I am sorry. I don't care what the courts say, and it's a growing precedent. Legally, you cannot ban a gun. You cannot ban ammo. You can't ban magazines. What about shall not infringe? Do people not understand? And then you have, again, some individuals, oh, I'm all for guns, but in this situation, but is the key word, but. No, as soon as that, when they're talking, they're like, oh, no, I like guns, but. No, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear you. I'm all for choice in healthcare, but no, shut your mouth. You are or you're not. There's a line from Robin Williams talks about, he was talking about nuclear disarmament, which, again, I am not for, but anyway. He made a comment about partial disarmament. He said he was making fun of that term because he said it's like partial circumcision. You either do it, you know, you either do it or you just, you know, effing this, leave it. You don't. You do or you don't. You don't do partial circumcision. You don't, oh, I'm for, oh, let's pick on something else. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I got Second Amendment, you know, guns. Right now, off the top of my head. Oh, I'm for this, but. Oh, okay. Do you know? And it's like a lot of people, if you tell them, sit down with them and say, do you know what the Second Amendment's for? Well, yeah, so people can go hunting. No, numbnuts. It has nothing to do with hunting. That's not why. And that's, again, the crap they teach in public schools. Well, if they were hunters and blah, blah, it had nothing to do with hunting. Yes, you use guns to go hunting. You know, it's not for hunting and going target practice. The Second Amendment. The whole point of the Second Amendment is, number one, it is a right that the founders and early Americans, they believed due to scripture and whatnot, that you had the right to self-defense, to protect your property / life, and you had a responsibility to protect your country. And that includes from foreign and domestic enemies. That's it. That's the point. So they said, in order to do this, to accomplish this, a public had to be well armed, and you could not infringe on the ownership, the owning of firearms. Now, these rejects are, well, it doesn't mention guns in the Bible. No kidding. That's why it's called arms. Arms. The right to bear arms. A sword is an arm. A crossbow. A knife. A bayonet. A rifle. That's an arm. A cannon. Okay, we had cannons. And that's what you tell these, there's these talks to these people. Oh, we shouldn't own military-grade weapons. What do you mean military-grade? That's a new term. Military-grade. What is a military-grade weapon? And someone would say, well, it's weapons used in war. Yes, and how is an armed civilian population, how are they supposed to stand up to an invading army or a tyrannical government? How do you do that? How do you do that if you allow the federal government to sanction certain weapons and deny others? How do you do that? And I told guys at my primary job, And they said, so what, you think you can own, you should be able to own grenades? I said, yes. And missile launchers? I said, yes. And they thought I was completely nuts. Again, I say this again. How do you, the military, on a global situation here. So let's look at it this way. China has said back in, I think it was like 95 or something, 96, 95. It's not the U.S. military per se that they're worried about. I mean, yeah, they don't want to get, you know, it is what it is. Our troops are amazing and everything. That is not their number one obstacle. As far as, because there's not that many of them. The problem is, there's over 300 million of us. Okay. And there's over 270 million privately owned weapons. Over 270 million. That's what they're worried about. That is what they're worried about. They even said, you can't go through Texas. Texas, to invade, suicide. It's not the military that they're worried about. It's because of how Texas is. They said it's suicide. Don't go through, if you're going to invade the United States, don't go through Texas. You know what you're best off going through? New York. That's where you go through. New York City, boom, you're going to punch right through there. Compared to some other states. That's what you do. So, it's, again, but again, back to my main point, you have these individuals are just, they're freaking out. They don't understand the context of anything. I could sit down and think about why they're saying this. From my perspective, I mean, if they want big, bloated, huge, progressive, tyrannical government, I can see from that mindset, if you believe in an overlord government and you're not really a fan of sovereignty between the states and so on. So, yeah, I get all that. That's not a big shock. I understand that mindset. But what I don't understand is when you have an individual, either it's myself or whoever, it doesn't matter, or another radio show host or an author writes a book, you sit down and explain the how we've got to this point as far as the success that this country has. If we did this in our infancy, as far as like after we wrote the Constitution was different, we would not be our short time frame here. We would not be where we are at today if we tried this crap from the very beginning. And I'm not talking about, yes, Jamestown and you know, the Pilgrims tried socialism. Yes, I know that. Maybe some of you don't know that, but they did. Pilgrims and you know, early America, I'm talking, you know, pre-Articles of Confederation. We're talking Pilgrims and everyone and people after that. They tried socialism. It did not work. Didn't work. They found out the hard way. They had to abandon it. And everyone's like, well, if it's done right. No, it doesn't work because you have the human element. And hard work is not rewarded. Hard work is not rewarded in socialism or communism. So if we tried the crap that we're doing today, back over 200 years ago, let's pick on the Articles. Let's start at the Articles of Confederation. Okay? Big, huge, bloated, massive government where redistribution of wealth was going on all over the place. We would not be where we are at today. We wouldn't. But everyone has forgotten how we got here. And that is due to the fact of the public education system. That, and you have media is on it. Media leans massive unconstitutional government. And so on and so on and so on. So it's frustrating. But, again, To my main point, I do not see where some of these people are coming from. I don't. So, yeah, it's really frustrating. The other topic I wanted to discuss here, Keith Ellison. There's an article here in Conservative Review. Keith Ellison, he's being considered, I believe he's got this, but it says he's the front runner to be the next Democratic National Committee chairman. So he's gonna, you know, head the DNC. Now he is a I don't like using the term radical Islamist. He's just an Islamist, which that's a whole other show. Why I don't like using the term radical Islamist, but he's Muslim, and he's supposed to appear in. He was in December. He went to a radical Islamist conference, and then you know he's calling for the impeachment investigations into Trump after just 5 weeks in office. Which, again, I've heard what he has said of why he thinks that Trump should be impeached, and it is so damn funny because the guy doesn't understand apparently the Constitution. Anyway, which he hates the Constitution, but he waves it around whenever it best suits him or his little buddies. It says, during Wednesday's CNN debate with seven other candidates for the DNC chairmanship, Ellison pushed the idea that Trump should be on the chopping block just 1 month into his presidency. He said, quote, I think that Donald Trump has already done a number of things which legitimately raise the question of impeachment, Ellison said, agreeing with others on the stage on the issue. Quote, that's on, he says, quote, we need to begin investigations not to go after Donald Trump, but to protect the presidency of the United States, to make sure nobody can monetize the presidency and make profit off it for his own game, unquote, said the Minnesota congressman. Such bombastic, I haven't read that word in a long time, commentary is not unusual for a Rep. Ellison, who used to write under the byline Keith X. Ellison, in homage to Malcolm X. Yay! He once compared George W. Bush to Adolf Hitler, which that seems to be an ongoing trend, and suspected 9/11 was a false flag inside job. So he's a 9/11 truther. Yay. In December, Ellison pulled out of a radical Islamic conference in Chicago. He was set to share a stage with a number of unmistakably extremist individuals, including an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, multiple supporters of terrorist organizations, and an advocate for suicide bombings against Jews and the death penalty for homosexuals. Keith Ellison has previously met with prominent Hamas fundraisers, has called for the U.S. to cut off funding to Israel, has keynoted the annual Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, which, again, CARE was also a unindicted conspirator in the oh my gosh, I'm a complete brain fart right now. I don't remember what. Anyway, it was a trial, and they were connected with this Islamic BS. CARE has had many suspicious ties with Hamas through the years. On Saturday, 447 members will gather in Atlanta to vote for the next party chair. Keith Ellison may soon bring his radicalism with him as the public face of the DNC. Ellison's biggest challenge in the DNC race is Tom Perez, former Labor Secretary under President Obama. So that is on Conservative Review. That's February 23rd that was published. So, again, yeah, the guy, he wrote, when he was in law school, he wrote some papers, you know, bragging and promoting Louis Farrakhan, and he worked with him, and just, he's a scumbag. Scumbag, piece of shit, and most likely, because, again, the DNC... that's what they seem to like. And, of course, with the political climate, I'm guessing that's why he's being considered for a DNC chair, because he is Muslim. So, yay. Wonderful. Which, again, like Ben Carson had said, no, it wasn't Ben Carson. It was Herman Cain, I believe. One of the two. They said that naturally, and I'm a firm believer in this, that you can't be president or in the U.S. government as a Muslim. Reason being, because if you're a Muslim, a true Muslim, you believe in Sharia law. Well, Sharia law in the Constitution are oil and water. They do not comply at all with one another. That's why groups, other Islamic groups around the country are calling for the annihilation of the U.S. Constitution. They want it gone. They want it replaced. So again, that's a whole other very lengthy program on that issue. So, yeah, I'm just buzzing through news right here. Let's see here. Scorecard. Hey, let's look at scorecards. We got, let's see, Jordan's in. This is on conservative. I'm just buzzing through a conservative view real quick. I haven't been on here in a while. So Jordan's got a rating. Ryan has an F. McConnell has an F. McCain an F. McCarthy an F. Cruz is an A grade. Cornyn F. Lee A. That's just the ones on there. So let's see what's this on. Oh, lethal judiciary. This is right on the main page. California cop killed by known criminal released by activist Supreme Court. Whoa! That is a shocker. I'm not surprised at all. Not one bit. So, again, read that article. That's by Daniel Horowitz, February 24th. Yeah, that's wonderful. That is the, Michael Christopher Mejia, M-E-J-I-A. I don't care if I'm pronouncing that dipshit's name correct or not. He killed Keith Boyer. That was the cop that was killed in Los Angeles. Oh, it said Dickhead. I'm going to call this guy Dickhead. Was arrested 5 times over the past 7 months during a probation program that was born out of a 2011 court decision. Oh, yay, there's the courts. The courts doing a fine job. He served only 2 years for a robbery conviction in 2014 and has been allowed to roam free despite five parole violations since 2016. Again, good job. Because he had been deemed a nonviolent offender, and who would want to fill up prisons with such a peaceful piece of shit. Nice. That's just wonderful. Yep, so read that article, Conservative Review, by Daniel Horowitz. That's too bad. I feel sorry for the officer and his family. We have too many police officers being gunned down. And what's sad is to make a good police officer, you have years of dedication and support from family and the training and the experience to shape and mold a really good, effective police officer. And they're being gunned down right now. You have a piece of crap human being can destroy years of hard work and dedication. That's on the strategic viewpoint. That is not to mention the personal outcome and the sacrifice from family and, you know, the children and everybody. You know, the hardship and grief and the pain that is caused. But again, on the war footing, the to recover from losing losing one good cop, that's a major blow to law enforcement. Major blow to law enforcement. Especially the good ones. You know, and what's tragic, you have these rookies that go in. You know, there was that one woman, I think 2016, mid to late 2016, I believe, she was killed. It was like her first day or first week. I was pretty confident it was her first day. She, actual officer on the beat, and again, some scumbucket individual that decided that they did not want to participate in the civil society was gunned down. You know, and all her hopes and dreams and her potential. Again, you've got, like I said, the professional, the war standpoint, as far as what she could have achieved. You know, I mean, if she hadn't been killed that day, I mean, who knows? Maybe one day she caught a rapist or she caught a serial killer. Or you know, help apprehend, or saved a child from an abusive home. Who knows? Who knows what these cops and detectives and whatnot would have done? But their lives were cut short. So they were taken from us twofold. In the personal aspect with their families and themselves and their hopes and dreams. And maybe, like her, she most likely didn't have a family as far as a husband or children. Maybe she did, but I didn't know much about her. But you have the personal side, and then you have the aspect of what work did she miss out on? What great things could she have done for her community? You know, and that's the major blow. It's not hard to make a scumbag. It's not. It's more difficult, you know, making a really good example of honor and hard work and sacrifice. So, I'm gonna leave you with that, America. And God bless you, and thank you for listening to the Michael Gibson Show. Have a great day, and God bless.